Let us turn in the Holy Scriptures to Proverbs chapter 4. Our reading consists of the entire chapter. The text I call your attention to is verse 23. Let us read Proverbs chapter 4. Hear, ye children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine. Forsake ye not my law. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also, and said unto me, Let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments, and live. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore get wisdom, and with all thy getting get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring to thee honor. When thou dost embrace her, she shall give to thine head an ornament of grace. A crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. I have taught thee in the way of wisdom, I have led thee in right paths. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straitened, and when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. Take fast hold of instruction, let her not go, keep her, for she is thy life. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away. For they sleep not, except they have done mischief, and their sleep is taken away, unless they cause some to fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness, and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the just is as the shining light, that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness, they know not at what they stumble. My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth and perverse lips, put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. Here ends our reading of the Holy Scriptures. Once more, I call your attention to verse 23. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Beloved congregation, it is always a good thing in the life of the Church of Christ to witness another baptism. It is good because baptism is not simply a cute ceremony that warms our hearts. It's not simply an ecclesiastical accessory, but it is a powerful means of grace. It is visible gospel. It is gospel that the Lord sets before our eyes, which alongside the preaching of the gospel is intended to strengthen our faith. Baptism, therefore, is a joyful occasion, not just because the sight of a lovely child born in the midst of the congregation warms our hearts, but above all because of the gospel that warms our hearts and the gospel promises of the Word of God, which we see pictured in the sign and seal of baptism. Baptism is a visible gospel. It shows us and allows us to see with our eyes what Christ's blood does for our souls. It allows us to see a picture with our eyes, a picture of our redemption in Christ, a picture of the forgiveness of our sins, the blotting out of our guilt, a picture of the work of Christ, which is the one foundation for all of our salvation. And thus it comforts us. comforts us with the gospel. But with baptism, there is also instruction. It is an instructive sign and seal. It is a visible gospel word that also sets before us a calling, a command. In baptism, we are admonished of and obliged unto new obedience. Part of that calling comes to the covenant parents who present their child for baptism, and all of the covenant parents here in this congregation, the high and holy calling to raise your children in the fear and admonition of the Lord. For the covenant children that God has given to you are not, first of all, your own. But they are God's. And He would have you raise them for Him and unto Him. And He would have you, in all of your work as parents, direct them to their Heavenly Father and prepare them and instruct them for life with their Heavenly Father. That's at the core of covenant parenthood, bringing up God's children unto their Heavenly Father. Thus we come to the book of Proverbs, and this particular chapter of Proverbs, and this particular text in the book of Proverbs, which is a piece of covenantal wisdom, of God-given wisdom for covenant parents in the raising of their children. That comes out all over the place in Proverbs 4, where the inspired writer Solomon speaks as a parent to his son. He is instructing his son in godly wisdom, in the Word of God, in the right way of living according to the Word of God. This is wisdom for life in the covenant of God. Thus, this instruction comes to all of us as we live in the covenant of God. But in particular, this morning, it comes to you, covenant parents. And it comes to you, Zach and Nicole. Here is a word for you, how you are to go forward in raising the covenant child God has given you. Here is God's own wisdom given to you, in which you receive by faith and by the power of the Holy Spirit implement in the raising of your covenant child. Much wisdom to be found in the book of Proverbs, but this morning we concentrate on one piece of that wisdom. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. It's a calling for every one of us, but it's a calling for covenant parents as well. This is something you are to teach to your covenant children, and something you are to model and exemplify for them. The keeping of the heart. So let's enter into this text, that we might draw out of it God's wisdom for us, and by His Holy Spirit may that wisdom be applied to us, that we may live it in our lives of thankfulness to our Savior. We consider this text under the theme, teaching children to keep their hearts. Teaching children to keep their hearts. Notice, in the first place, the calling to do that. Secondly, the reason stated in the text why it is so important to teach our children to keep their hearts. And finally, the possibility of carrying out this calling. The calling, the reason, the possibility. The calling of the inspired writer to his son, and the calling that comes to all of us from God, and the calling that is issued to covenant parents this morning is, keep thy heart with all diligence. To understand this calling, we have to understand what is being talked about. What is the heart that must be kept? Your heart is your spiritual center. It is the core of the human person. Your heart is who you are at the deepest level. Your heart is the real you down deep. Your heart is the source of your inward as well as your outward life. That's why the proverb speaks of it as being the source from which flow the issues of life. An issue here doesn't mean a problem, but it refers to a stream that flows from a source. There's a word picture here. Picture a river that flows from its water source. Your heart is that water source, and the river that flows out of it is your whole life. All of your moral, rational, volitional activity, all of your thinking, all of your desiring, all of your feeling, all of your choosing, all of your doing, all of your speaking, every activity is an issue of your heart. Your heart is the core of your being. It is who you are at the deepest level. That's the heart. And so given what the heart is, we see the important truth of this text and why this calling comes to us. Keep your heart. The spiritual condition of your heart determines the spiritual condition of your entire life. This can be illustrated when we think about the function of the physical heart that God has put in our chests. That physical heart that is always beating, pumping oxygenated blood throughout the circulatory system of our body. And that blood which is pumped from the heart sustains the different organs of the body, keeps them alive, keeps them functioning according to their purpose. A healthy heart is essential for a healthy life, a healthy body, and a diseased heart endangers the entire life of the body. If a man doesn't care for his heart, he risks disrupting and damaging his whole life. Likewise, your spiritual heart, the condition of your spiritual heart, and how you care for your heart determines the character of the issues of life that flow from it. And consequently, the character of the life that you live. Where your heart is, what your heart is fixed upon, that is what will control your desires. What you set your heart upon, that is where your eyes will look. What your hands will do, where your feet will take you. Your heart is at the center, and from it flow the issues of life. So now a couple of general applications before we get to the commandment proper. First, notice what a wonder the human heart is, your spiritual heart. It's your inmost being that God knit together, that God created. Each and every one of us has a heart fashioned by the creative hands of God. And every heart of every one of His elect children is a heart that God loves, that God fashioned for His glory. Your heart is a gift from God. Who you are, God has made you. And now you are called to use all that you are in His service. God created your heart and gave it to you for His glory. He created your heart to be a vessel filled with His grace. And He created your heart to be a fountain out of which flows an endless stream of thanks and praise to Him for the glory of His name. That's your heart. And second, parents, one of the marvelous and beautiful things about covenant parenthood is God has now given you a little heart to care for, to cultivate, to teach, to instruct, to form for the glory of the God who made it. The heart of your child has been entrusted into your hands by God. And your high and holy calling now is to care for the heart of your child, to protect the heart of your child, and to take the Word of God, as we'll see later on, only by His grace, put that Word of God in the heart of your child. So now, understanding what the heart is, let's get to the core of the text, the command, the calling that is issued to us. Keep thy heart with all diligence, the inspired writer says. What does that mean? Well, let's look at it generally. To keep here means to guard. To guard something by watching over it and protecting it from anything that would endanger it or harm it. The child of God is a person who is exposed to many dangers in the course of this earthly pilgrimage. We have spiritual enemies, heart enemies, we might call them. Enemies that want nothing more than to damage and harm our hearts in order that they may ensnare our hearts and even seize control of our lives. The devil, our sinful flesh, the wicked world, which are the friend, slaves, and agents of the devil. The kingdom of darkness, which seeks to drag the child of God into the darkness of sin. We have a heart, and our calling is to guard it. To guard it. To guard it like a walled fortress. Our heart must be a walled fortress in which Christ reigns supreme, in which we let nothing in except that which serves Him and glorifies Him, and allow nothing to go out except that which is in harmony with His will. Your heart is to be the fortress in which Christ reigns supreme. Your heart is to be that wellspring from which flows a life of thankfulness. Your enemy Satan wants to poison and pollute the waters that flow from that fountain with sin. He wants to plunder the treasure house of your heart and fill it with dung. He wants to raid the garden of your heart and sow his weeds so that the fruits of the Spirit may be choked out. That's his goal. And because we have such enemies, this command is important. Keep your heart with all diligence. Guard it. Watch over it. So understanding that command generally, we're going to now break it down into two main parts. First, there's a negative calling to guard against the attacks of the enemy, and we'll explore that in more detail. Then we'll look at the positive side of the calling to form, to cultivate, to fill our heart with good. So first, the negative. To keep your heart means guarding and protecting your heart from everything that is contrary to God's Word and therefore spiritually harmful. Note, if it's contrary to God's Word, it's spiritually harmful. We often like to blur that distinction. Think, well, that's not really in accord with God's Word, but it's not that bad. Can't do that much damage to me. I can dabble with it. I can hold on to it in this sector of my life. No. The wisdom of God is, guard your heart against anything that is contrary to God's Word. That's how you know what's going to hurt you. That's how you know what's harmful. That's how you know what's spiritually destructive. If it's contrary to the Word of God, guard your heart. Watch it. Watchfulness. Come back to that idea of a fortress. A good guard on the walls of that fortress is a vigilant guard who is looking with keen eyesight for the dangers that may come. He knows the different ways that those dangers may come. He's on guard against those dangers. A vigilant guard. The text calls us to be vigilant guards who watch over ourselves. This means then, in the first place, it's a calling to have self-knowledge gained from the Word of God. An important part of guarding our hearts is knowing ourselves, knowing what the Bible teaches about ourselves, knowing that our old man of sin, our old heart, is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, being on guard against the sinful impulses of our depraved old nature, knowing ourselves. Being on guard. Being a Christian who is reflective, who examines self, who regularly looks upon his or her patterns of thought, patterns of behavior, the words he or she speaks, and regularly measures those things according to the standard of the Word of God. The Christian is to live a thoughtful, reflective life. Not just float along, however the issues of your heart carry you, because often the issues of our hearts by nature are wicked. And when we just float along with the issues of our hearts, we're going to walk in the ways of sin. Watch, guard your heart. Examine yourself. Watch closely your own desires, feelings, and thoughts and behaviors, and measure them according to the Scriptures, and pray that prayer that David prayed because he knew his own blindness. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me. And the idea there that in David's prayer is, expose to my eyes what wicked ways there may be in me. Watch. Watch yourself. But that watchfulness is not only inward looking. That's where it starts, because our most dangerous enemy is our own sinful flesh. But our watchfulness must also extend outside of ourselves. We must be on guard against the adversaries from without. We must not only know ourselves, but we must know our enemies, the devil and the wicked world. We must know their tactics, as the Bible explains to them, temptation and ensnarement. We must know where the enemy lurks, the devices he deploys, and be on our guard. Failure to watch against our enemies exposes our hearts to great spiritual danger, being ensnared by temptation, even led captive by the devil according to his will. So watching over your heart means watching over yourself continually, but also having a vigilant guard against the adversaries outside. But guarding the heart is not only watching, it's also taking protective action. A good guard on the walls of a fortress doesn't just watch for the enemies, but when he identifies an enemy or sees an enemy coming, he takes action to protect the city, to protect the fortress, to raise the alarm, but also to do whatever is necessary to repel that enemy. And that idea comes in here. Keeping our heart means watching our heart and taking whatever action is necessary to safeguard our heart, protecting it. Whenever we find sins or patterns of sinful thought or behavior in our lives, what do? Take protective action by the power of God's grace and with the sword of the Spirit. Slay that old man. Put off his works. Uproot those spiritual weeds that the devil has sown in the garden of your heart. Take protective action. Regulate your heart traffic. As a good guard standing upon the city gate, he has a keen watch over everything that goes in the gate and everything that comes out the gate. And if there's any problems or anything that's concerning, he halts the traffic. So too with us. Every day of our lives, there's heart traffic. There is things coming out of us and there are things coming in into us. And the vigilant Christian has the Word of God in his hand and he's monitoring that heart traffic, stopping whatever he identifies by the Word of God to be a spiritual danger, to be harmful. And when he finds sin coming out of his heart, he stops it with the Word of God. Puts it to death with the sword of the Spirit. Puts it off. Protective action. And so that's the negative side of the commandment. Keep your heart. What does it mean? Guard your heart. Be watchful over your heart. What comes out of your heart and what comes in, but also take protective action to safeguard your heart. Now we come to the positive. Keeping your heart means forming your heart with the Word of God, promoting its spiritual heart health, cultivating godly affections according to the Word of God. The text calls us not only to preventative spiritual heart care, but also there's the positive calling of feeding the heart, feeding the new man with the Word of God and the Gospel of Christ. What are some ways we do this? Well, chiefly, focus your heart on wisdom himself. So often Proverbs 4 focuses on wisdom, God's wisdom. That's above all things what Solomon wants to communicate and impart to his son. But we know from the scriptures that wisdom is a person. It's not just a concept. Wisdom is a person, the person of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the wisdom of God. Keep your heart by focusing the affections of your heart, by having your heart transfixed with wisdom himself, Christ, his person, his work, his glory, his grace. The heart that it stands in awe of Christ. The heart that delights in Christ. The heart that consciously draws strength from Christ. That heart is the healthiest heart and the safest heart. Nothing guards your heart or promotes the health of your spiritual heart more than conscious faith and dependence upon Christ. The heart that is aflame with the love of God is a heart that will be very difficult for the devil to ignite with lust or other such sins. When the heart is filled with faith and love and hope, that heart has a strong wall that wards off the attacks of the devil. The best defense is faith, hope, and love for God. So feed your heart, that you may see the glory of God and rest in His wonderful grace. Psalm 119, verse 11 says, "Thy word have I hid in my heart." And then it states the purpose, "that I might not sin against thee." Hiding the word of God in our hearts, drinking deeply of that gospel of Christ, daily partaking of the wholesome bread of life presented to us in the Word of God, that feeds the heart. That fills the heart with good treasure so that there is little room for what the devil would sow in our hearts. So the outstanding aspect of the positive side of this command is focus on Christ. Let the affections of your heart be given to Christ. Glory in His grace and in the wonder of His salvation. Consume the Word of God in all of the wholesome forms that God gives us, that Word. The preaching of the gospel first and foremost, which is the power of salvation unto those who believe. The visible gospel, the sacrament. The Word as we read it in our private devotions, the Word as we read it in our family devotions, that's feeding the heart. That's keeping the heart. But as we know, an important part of heart health is also exercise. Exercise. Exercise your heart. Exercise your heart in Christian service and in the communion of the saints. Our hearts are exposed to danger when they sit in spiritual idleness. But if our hearts are engaged in the loving service of our fellow saints, of life in the church, that guards them, that protects them, that helps keep them. Exercise your heart in the communion of the saints. Keep your heart. Now, to finish up the explanation of the commandment, let's make a couple applications to covenant parents now. First, covenant parents, God calls you to guard the hearts of your children. This command comes to all of us. We've applied it generally now, but now it must be applied narrowly to you. Your great calling from God is to guard the heart of your children. Now that starts with the guarding of your own heart. Of course it does. If you do not guard your own heart, you will not be able to guard the hearts of your children. You can only teach them what you yourself practice. You can only impart to them wisdom that you yourself embody. If there is a contradiction between what you teach and how you live, you will not keep the hearts of your children, but you will confuse them and set them up for falling. You must train them in the spiritual life skills of the Christian life. But to do that, you must practice them yourself. And so you must guard your heart that you may guard your children's hearts. But that said, guard your children's hearts. Our young children are vulnerable. They're impressionable. They're at the age when they are drinking in the world through their senses and through their experiences. They are learning. That's part of what it is to be a child. Their heart is being shaped and formed, filled with things. And you must guard the heart traffic of your child. By exercising vigilance over what is allowed to enter into the heart of your child. And this means cultivating a home life that is rooted on the Word of God. This means having a marriage that exemplifies the relationship of Christ and His church so that as your child grows up, he or she sees Christ and the church pictured in you. And so many other things. Family devotions, family worship from the youngest years of our children, teaching them to pray, reading them the Word of God, that's hiding that Word in their hearts, that's guarding their hearts, that's filling their hearts with good. That's our calling as covenant parents, to carefully, vigilantly care for and guard the hearts of our children. Discipline too. Discipline, the purpose of which is to drive the sinful folly from the hearts of our children and, by the grace of God, impart wisdom to them. Discipline, which serves to uproot sin. Because our children who are conceived and born in sin are born with that totally depraved nature, and the natural issues of the human heart are only evil continually. And so discipline, brought with the gospel, is an important part of your calling as covenant parents, by which you keep the heart of your child and form and shape and instruct that heart. Teaching in the Word of God, training in the spiritual life skills of the Word of God, and faithful discipline with the gospel. To protect and to form the heart of your child. But now a second and more direct application. Covenant parents, you have this calling: to teach and to train your children to keep their own hearts. That's really the idea of the text here, when you put it in its context. Solomon, as a covenant father, is speaking to his son. And Solomon gives this command to his son. He tells his son, keep thy heart with all diligence. Up to this point, we've been applying the text to covenant parents. You are to guard the heart of your children, especially your young children, who are most vulnerable and impressionable. But part of raising your children is teaching them to guard their own heart. Because you can't do it forever. They're not always going to be in your home. They're not always going to be that young, impressionable child learning to walk and learning to talk, dependent upon you for everything. They're going to grow up. They're going to become teenagers. They're going to become adults someday. They're going to get married. They're going to get a job. And it is so very important that as they grow up, you impart to them this spiritual life skill that they know how to guard their own hearts. That they learn how to foster healthy spiritual heart life. That they know of their spiritual enemies out there as well as their own sinful flesh. Teach them
to guard their own hearts.
Train them to be watchful. Teach them to know their sin from their earliest days. Teach them to examine themselves and reflect upon themselves. Not just stay out of trouble. Not just be nice. Not just have good outward behavior when other people are looking, but train them to care for their own hearts. This is some of parenthood's most difficult labor. Training the heart, shepherding the heart of a child. And equipping them to go out on their own, to take what they learned, and to keep their own hearts. An application for you children and young people comes right out of this. When dad and mom teach you in the Word of God, when dad and mom are training you, when they're disciplining you for something bad, something sinful that you did, listen to them. Open up your heart to them. The instruction they give you is wisdom. And God is using them to teach you Himself. And God is using them to prepare you for your life of service to Him as you grow up and as you grow older. Listen to dad and mom. Open your heart to their instruction. Receive it from them. That's the command. But now, more briefly, let us move to see the reason that the text sets before us. The reason that the text sets before us is, out of it are the issues of life. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Now, we've already examined what the meaning of issues of life is. We saw that issues of life refers to everything that flows out of the heart. All of our inward and outward life, all of our moral, rational activity, our doing, our thinking, our speaking, our desiring, our planning, our purposing, all of that is the issues of life. From the heart arises, and out of the heart arises all of life. And thus the condition of one's heart will impact and in many ways determine the course of one's life. Proverbs 4:23 emphasizes that this is an outstanding reason to guard the heart. Keep thine heart with all diligence, for reason, out of it are the issues of life. It's of the utmost importance to watch and to protect and to form and to cultivate our hearts precisely because of what they are. Our spiritual core, the fountain from which flows our life. The text emphasizes the importance here with those words, with all diligence. Keep thy heart with all diligence. That phrase can be rendered a couple of ways in English. It literally means, above all guarding, guard thy heart. Or, with all guarding, guard your heart. And both ideas are true. Above all things, we are to guard our hearts and seek to protect our hearts and to fill our hearts with that which is good and God glorifying. Diligently. So let's apply that and see what it means for our Christian lives. First, the text here teaches us something very important about the origin of sin and the way to deal with sin in our lives. Sin is not something that is just outside of us, trying to get inside of us. Sin is not merely behavior. But sin has its rotten roots deep in our hearts. Sin dwells in our flesh. Sin arises from our old man, our corrupt nature in Adam. The source of sin then is in us and in our old man, our old heart. Jesus speaks of this in Matthew 15. Matthew 15,
Verses 18 and 19. There Jesus says, "But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile a man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornication, thefts, false witnesses, blasphemies." Jesus' point there is sin, and that which defiles a man starts from within. My corrupt nature, my old man. Sin isn't just a behavior problem that can be corrected by external means. Sin is a deep-seated heart problem. We need to recognize how deep sin goes. We must recognize it so that we know how to deal with sin. To deal with sin, sinful behavior, we have to get to the heart problem behind it. It's important for parenting. When the kids are misbehaving, and they're squabbling, and they're talking back to dad or mom, it's not just a behavior problem. That issue of life has a source, and it's the source of the heart. And so our correction of that sinful behavior has to go beyond just an outward correction of the behavior, but has to reach the heart. Reach the heart with the Word of God, with the Gospel. Teaching our children not to fight and squabble. Not because it irritates dad and mom. Not merely because there's going to be bad consequences if you don't stop, but because that fighting and squabbling arises out of selfishness, which is an offense to God. And teaching our children that comes from the heart. And that sin of the heart is an offense to God, your Heavenly Father. Teaching our children to repent of that sin. Administering discipline to them, but administering that discipline with the Word of the Gospel, explaining to them the forgiveness of sins that we have through Jesus Christ, and reconciliation with God through the work of Jesus Christ. Gospel parenting, gospel discipline, that's what gets to the heart. And that's so important for effectively raising and training and teaching our children to keep, to guard, and to cultivate their hearts. Knowing where sin comes from, heart, and how to deal with sin, with the Word of God, going to the heart of the issue. That's important for all of our lives in our battle of daily conversion, is it not? When we're struggling against our sin, we're too prone to be satisfied with superficial fixes. For a little while, changing an outward behavior, perhaps, because of unpleasant consequences we experienced. Drinking too much, speaking unkindly, backbiting the neighbor, we get caught. So we just change our behavior a little bit. Now that behavior must change, but it has to go deeper than that. Do we have repentance towards God? Do we grieve over that sin because it's an offense against His Most High Majesty? The heart has to change. And only when the heart has changed will the course of life change. So to tie it back to the reason here. Keep thy heart with all diligence. What's the reason why this is so important? Because your heart is so important. And you cannot live a life of gratitude to God unless your heart is right before God. Unless your heart is full of His Word and Gospel. Unless you're fighting against your sin. Not just outwardly, but uprooting it from the heart. The grateful life of the Christian must flow from a heart. A heart that is full of faith, hope, and love. To apply this more to parents, then. The heart of your child is the fountain from which flow all of the issues of your child's life. That's the importance of your work as parents.
That's the reason why you must be so diligent in guarding their hearts against the multitude of dangers that would assail them. Nothing is more important for your children than faithful, biblical instruction in the Word of God. Covenant heart keeping. Give yourself to that work. It's hard work. The flesh sometimes groans under the burden of this work. But out of love and gratitude to God, give yourself to this work. If you give your children anything, give them that. Instruction in the Word of God. Training in the keeping of the heart. But now the possibility. Heart keeping is no easy calling. In fact, it's an impossible calling if we are left to ourselves. It's an impossible calling because our hearts are sinful. It's an impossible calling because the hearts of our children are sinful. The only possibility is found in the grace of God, that mighty, powerful, saving, renewing grace of God, which is ours only for the sake of the work of Christ, our Savior. Every command in God's Word is possible only by the grace of God. We cannot keep God's commands of our own strength. But by the grace of God, we can. And we do. Not perfectly. Nothing perfect on this side of the grave. But we can and we do by that equipping, empowering grace of God. This is gathered from the context in Proverbs 4. The context of which is covenant instruction. Covenant of instruction of a father to his son. Instruction given from a regenerated man to his regenerated child. It's instruction given in the covenant of grace. Proverbs 4 is inspired instruction in the covenant where God's grace is at work. God's grace is what gives the new heart to father and to son, to parent and to child. God's grace is what makes the Word effective in the heart of both parent and child. God's grace is what works, kindles true faith in the heart of parent and child. God's grace, the wonder work of His grace, is the possibility. Covenant instruction is possible because God has worked that spiritual heart transplant in His people. That heart transplant that we call regeneration. He's made us new creatures in Christ. He's sovereignly given us new life in Christ. We're a new creature in Christ with a new heart in Christ. Though we still have that old man of sin, that sinful flesh, who daily rises up against us, we are in principle a new man, a new woman in Christ. And by the power of that grace, we hear this calling of the text. And we heed it. And we guard and keep our hearts with all diligence. And we teach and train our children. So let that be a comfort to all of the covenant parents here. To you, Zach and Nicole, you train your children. Parents know how weak they are. We all have our failures. We all have our sins. There are many. Never forget, God's strength is made perfect in weakness. And where you are insufficient, God's grace will be sufficient for you. In fact, that's why God uses weak means, because it magnifies His power and it magnifies His grace. And that's the comfort we as covenant parents need. We can't change the hearts of our children. We can't give them a new heart. We can't do any of this of our own strength. But it's not of us. It's of Him. We're just the means in His hands. The tools He uses to guard, to shape the hearts of His children. His grace is the power. That gives us the comfort we need to strive with all our might to keep our own hearts, to keep the hearts of our children, and to teach them to keep their own hearts in dependence on His grace. which is given us for the sake of Jesus Christ. Let us finish with that, beholding the wonder of God's grace. Christ, who died for His elect people, that we might have a new heart and new life. God, who formed the heart of each one of His people, formed the heart of each of His children. God, who sovereignly gives that gift of faith to each of His children. God, who sovereignly uses the means of His Word and the means of parental instruction with that Word to apply it to the hearts of His children. God, who brings up His adopted covenant children by His powerful grace. That's the possibility. And that's our comfort. Behold God's wonder of grace. Find comfort in that wonder of grace. And in dependence on His power, keep thy heart with all diligence. Amen. Our faithful God and Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for this word of wisdom from the Scriptures. Strengthen us and equip us to keep our hearts with all diligence, and to teach our children to keep their hearts, and to equip them to keep their own hearts as they grow and mature. We pray, Father, that Thou wilt work by Thy grace, for we acknowledge our own insufficiency for these things. It is by Thy grace and Thy grace alone. We thank Thee for Jesus Christ, whose death on the cross has merited all of these blessings for us, who is the one and only ground and foundation of our and our children's salvation. Bless us in Him and strengthen us in Him. Hear us for His sake. Amen.